Again, it's a great blessing to be here to take part in this conference, and I am very grateful for everyone. We made a lot of friends this week, and before I preach my sermon, my wife asked me if she can come and say a word, so I'm going to ask her to come and say a word before I preach the Word of God.
Thank you very much. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor and his wife for all the wonderful hospitality he's shown us while we were here, the basket and just so many things, the meals. And also, I would love to thank each and every one of you by name. You know who you are, but there's been so much hospitality and love shown to us that we're just unable to really express it. But on behalf of my husband and myself, we would really love to thank you so much for all that you've done, the cards, the book, the wonderful meals that were provided, the basket in our room, just so many things I couldn't even name, the baklava that we just homemade got, and we're going to love that. But thank you so much. And I also would like to thank all those that really worked so hard in the kitchen to be able to, well, in their kitchens, to bring the food for having these wonderful meals that were just so yummy and scrumptious. And thank you so much. God bless. Amen.
The Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It's good always to learn from somebody who loves the Lord. It's always good to follow the footsteps of the Lord because he is our example. And as the Lord taught us to follow him, there are many great men of God that we need to look at their lives. And because their lives was a great example. So tonight we're going to look at one of the men of God, and that's John the Baptist. And I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 11, and I will be reading verses 9 through verse 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 9, the Lord Jesus here is talking about John the Baptist, and he says, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." John the Baptist was a unique man of God. Now, who is John the Baptist and what we learn from his life? Number one, John the Baptist was a prophet. As a matter of fact, if you read the Bible, you will notice that not many men or women in the New Testament were mentioned by the Old Testament prophets. For example, Apostle Paul is not mentioned by any of the prophets. The coming of Paul is not mentioned by Old Testament prophets. Yet Isaiah predicted the coming of John the Baptist, and he prophesied. He says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord." That's Isaiah 40, verse 3. So Isaiah predicted the coming of John the Baptist. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, Malachi prophesied the coming of John the Baptist. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers." Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, Jesus said that the prophecy of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5, refers to John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus said that among them that are born of the woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was not just a prophet. He was not the center of the prophecy of many of those prophets, but he was, according to the Lord Jesus, was the greatest prophet ever to walk on the face of the earth. So number one, John the Baptist was a prophet. Number two, John the Baptist was a man of great courage. He was a man of great courage. You know, Jeremiah was a timid prophet, and God has to remind Jeremiah to tell him, be not afraid of their faces. But when it comes to John the Baptist, he was fearless. He was fearless. He said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to his baptism, he said, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were a very effective group of people in the society in the days of John the Baptist, and the Sadducees were rich people who joined the priesthood, and even though they were so eminent in their societies, John the Baptist likened them to vipers. Vipers would be considered as the most poisonous serpents. Now, they claimed, these groups of people claimed, that God will accept their prayers and have favor with God because they are the children of Abraham. And John the Baptist looked at them fearlessly, rebuked them, and he said that God is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, don't think you are important and saved because you are the children or from the bloodline of Abraham. John the Baptist was not just a prophet, the great prophet. He was not a courageous man of God, but he preached with power. He preached with power. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? The first person that came to the mind of the disciples was John the Baptist. They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. But who was Jesus? Jesus was preaching, and the leaders in Jerusalem sent men to arrest him. And when they went there to arrest him and they heard him speak, they didn't arrest him. They came back empty-handed. And when the leaders in Jerusalem said, why didn't you arrest Jesus? Their answer was, we have never seen anyone speak with such power and authority like this man. And when Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I, the Son of Man, am? The first person came to their mind was John the Baptist. Herod, as a matter of fact, thought that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected from among the dead. When the Pharisees came to John and asked him, who are you, so that we can tell our superiors about who you are, the question that they asked him was, are you Elijah? Are you Elijah? Those people who came to see John the Baptist thought he was Elijah. Now, who was Elijah? Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets that walked in Israel. It was Elijah who challenged the wicked king Ahab and Jezebel, and it was Elijah who killed the 400 priests of the Baal. Yet when they came to look at John the Baptist, they thought he may be Elijah the prophet. As a matter of fact, John looked at the governor of Judea, and Herod, and he rebuked him for committing sin with his sister-in-law or the wife of Herod's brother. Actually, Herod was afraid of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not just a great prophet. He was not a man of great courage. He was not only a preacher with power, but he was selfless man. He was a selfless man. John the Baptist lived in the wilderness. He lived away from the people. He didn't live in a crowded city. He did not draw attention to himself. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist said about the Lord Jesus, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." You know, John the Baptist could have bragged about himself. He could have talked about the number of people that listened to his preaching. He could have talked about how many people he baptized and how his message is being received by the people. But John the Baptist looked at himself and he said, "I am nobody in comparison to the man who is coming." He said, that takes a lot of courage to do that. You know, people like to brag and be proud of what they are doing. Yet John the Baptist was a selfless man. He talked about the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 14, when Jesus came to be baptized of John the Baptist, instead of bragging and being proud that he is going to baptize Jesus Christ, he looked at him and he said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of you, of thee." And when they told John the Baptist that more people are following the Lord Jesus Christ than following him, his response was, he didn't get upset, but his response was that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. It is unusual for someone like John the Baptist to give glory and exalt someone else. It takes a lot of humility and courage. And that was John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, you know, John the Baptist exalted our Savior and our Lord. Another point about John the Baptist, he was not just a prophet. He was not a great man of great courage. He was not a preacher with power. He was not a selfless man, but he was a man. All his life he lived to point people to Jesus. He pointed people to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, we hear John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In other words, he said to the people, he said, "Look to Jesus." It was John who said that he that cometh from above is above all. You know, the devil knows the weakness of man. And the devil knows that man likes to be exalt himself. So when he tempted the Lord Jesus, he tempted him with one of the most weakness of man. He said, "I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth and their power if you bow and worship me." Well, John the Baptist pointed to everybody to Jesus and exalted him. Of course, Jesus answered to the devil, "Someday you will bow and worship me because I am your creator." But John the Baptist did not have this weakness. He pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, he did not build his own kingdom. What makes John the Baptist a great man of God, one of the greatest prophets, is that he did not build his own kingdom. He was not upset, for example, when some of his disciples left him and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 and 5, he sent two of his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples were asking the Lord, "Are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? Or should we wait for someone else?" And Jesus answered them, and he said, "Go and tell John that the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. When the disciples went back and gave the message of Jesus to John, John's attitude was, he was happy, he was ready to die with joy. John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. What a great man of God John the Baptist was. But there is something amazing about John the Baptist. You know, even though he was a great man of God, yet, you know, he was not one of the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Many men of God look at Hebrews chapter 11, and he described that chapter as the hall of faith. Yet, John the Baptist was not one of the great men and women of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Yet, the Lord Jesus described him as the greatest prophet ever to walk on the face of the earth. In Matthew 11:11, Jesus says, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You know, it's so wonderful to look at a man like that and follow his steps. And if ye will, actually, Jesus describe him, described John the Baptist as Elijah. He said, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. What a great man of God he was. But what was John the Baptist? What was he? Well, the leaders, the religious leaders in Jerusalem sent men to John the Baptist and asked him that exact question. They said, Mr. John the Baptist, who are you? Can you tell us who you are so that we can go back and tell our superiors about you? Who are you? Now, John the Baptist could have bragged. He, for example, he could have said, I am the great preacher. Go and ask the people who are around me. Everybody can agree that I'm the great preacher. But he didn't say that. He could have said, I am the prophet that is prophesied, predicted by prophets of the Old Testament. But he didn't answer that. He could have said, I'm the son of Zechariah. Remember, my father is the one of the priests that the angel appeared to him in the temple. He was in the temple in Jerusalem. He didn't say that to them. He could have said, I am the man who came in the spirit of Elijah. But he didn't say any of this. When they asked him, Mr. John, who are you so that we can tell the people in Jerusalem about you? His answer was, I am the voice that is one crying in the wilderness. Mr. John, who are you? His answer, I am a voice. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Can you see the voice? Can you see a voice? No, you can hear it, but you cannot see it. When I was a little boy in the city of Beirut, we used to have people who will have big carts. And what they do with these carts, they put vegetables and would put watermelon. Did you have something like that in America? Whereby, and that the cart will have two wheels. They carry the cart, move it around through the city, and they will shout, potatoes for $2. Onions, $1. Watermelon, $1, $2 for watermelon. And then they will promise that if you buy the watermelon, they will cut it out and show you that it's red. The heart of the watermelon is red. Now, just imagine with me, this man is pushing his cart, and he stops in front of a high-rise building in the city, and on the third floor of that building, there is a woman cooking for her family, and she needed a watermelon for fruit. And she hears this man shouting, watermelon for $2, watermelon for $2. And she needs a watermelon. You think she would say to herself, before I buy the watermelon from this guy, I wonder if he's tall or short. Does it matter if he's tall or short? Does it matter if he's educated or illiterate? Does it matter if he's white or black? Doesn't matter who he is. Who he is, it doesn't matter. What matters was she heard that voice, that she needed a watermelon. And the voice told her that here there is a watermelon. She comes down in order to buy it. You know, John the Baptist said, I am nobody. I am not important. Don't look at me, because I am a voice crying in the wilderness. Now, what kind of voice he was? A voice that we need in America today. Number one, he was a loud voice. Number two, he was a clear voice. And what did that voice say? He said, number one, repent. You know, that's what John the Baptist was preaching. Repent, 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 ye people, repent. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Make his path straight. John the Baptist said, I am a voice for God in the wilderness. Now, you may not be able to be a preacher. You may not be able to be a teacher. You may not even be able or can be a prophet, but you can be a voice for God in the wilderness of this country. You know, during this week, we have seen many missionaries speaking to us. These missionaries are voices. They themselves are nobodies, but Jesus in them is everybody, and they are a voice for God in the wilderness. You cannot be a preacher. You cannot be a prophet, but you can be a voice for God in America, in Cortez. I heard about a man who went to eat dinner in a restaurant. He was a godly man. The waitress who served him was stressed out, and she didn't do a good job serving him. So what did he do? After he finished eating, he left a good tip for her and a tract. In the tract, it says, God loves you. And then he left. She took the money. She noticed that it was a good tip. And she looked at the tract, and she began to read it. Later, this man who left the tract found out that this waitress was stressed out because that morning she found out that her husband was cheating on her. And he decided to leave her and leave her with her children without any support. That night, she looked at that tract. And it was God's message. The tract reminded her that maybe her husband don't love her anymore, but God loves her. And he gave his only begotten son in order to save her. And because of that tract, that waitress accepted Christ as her Savior. That tract was God's voice in the wilderness for this young lady. You know, today I enjoyed the children this morning. They were adorable. I really enjoyed speaking to them. And they really responded well. Well, here is a little child, and the parents are Christians, and the child it was at night, and the child was sleeping in his bed. Now, the mother and the father needed to go to the pharmacy to buy something. Well, they thought that the child is sleeping. Let us leave him, disrupt his sleep. And we will sneak out, go to the pharmacy, buy the medicine we need, come back, and we will not disrupt the sleep of that child. So they left quietly. But as they were leaving, they didn't know that there was a burglar watching their home. So they leave. The burglars thought there is nobody in the house, and he wanted to steal the jewelry of the mother, of the wife. So he goes in looking around, not worrying about making noise, but the noise that the burglar made woke up the child, the boy. So the boy comes out of his bed, goes into the living room, and he sees the burglar. So he saluted the burglar. He said, "Hello, uncle. Are you the man that is coming to take the silverware and clean them for my mother?" And the burglar thought, what an opportunity. He said, yes, I am. So he goes and hold him by the hand and take him around and show him where all the silverware is, where all the gold and silver that the mother has. And the burglar took them all, put them in his bag. And as he was leaving, that little boy walked with the burglar out of the door. And as the burglar was leaving, with his angelic voice, he said, "Uncle, may the Lord be with you." He said, "May the Lord be with you, uncle." You know, as the burglar was leaving that home, that angelic voice stayed in the mind, in the heart of that that burglar. "May the Lord be with me. God be with me. I am a burglar. My wife hates me. My children hates me. I don't carry a job. Everybody hates me. How can God be with me?" For days, that man could not sleep. Finally, he decided to change his life forever. He knelt down, prayed, and invited the Lord Jesus into his heart. Now, the mother comes into the house, and the little boy say, "The uncle, they took all your jewelry. I helped you, Mom. I did a good job for you." A few days later, somebody knocks at the door, and the man opens the door, and there was the burglar at the door. He said, "I'm the one who came to steal everything." He said, "Here is the bag. Everything I took from your home is here." He said, "Because of your son," as he was leaving, he said, "Uncle, may the Lord be with you." He said, "I promise you, I will no more be a burglar." He went back, reconciled with his wife, reconciled with his children, got himself a job. Eventually, he became a minister of the gospel. You see, the voice of that little child was God's voice unto that burglar. It was the voice of salvation. You may not be able to be a preacher. You may not be able to be a prophet. But God can use you, and you can be a voice for God in the wilderness of this country. In the city of Egypt, there was a Christian man, and he always longed to witness about the Lord Jesus. He had a store in Cairo, and he didn't know how to do it. So in front of his store, he put a sign. And on the sign says, "The wages of sin is," and he put three dots. And he said to the passerby, "If you like to find out the rest of this verse, come in and I will let you know." So here is a man passed by going to work in the morning and in the evening. He passed by and see the sign. The wages of sin is, what is the wages of sin? So he goes all to work, come back wondering, what is the wages of sin? And he got more and more curious every day. Finally, he decided to go in and ask him. He said, you put something here, the wages of sin is. What is the wages of sin? And this man opened his Bible and showed him that the wages of sin is death. But then he said, "Let me tell you, but there is a gift from God to you, and that is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Finally, he was able to lead this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that little sign was God's voice in the wilderness for that man. There was a church, and next to the church, there was a man living next to the church. And for years, the pastor and the church member will visit this man and witness to him. And he always rejected the gospel to a point that the church gave up on this man. They thought, there is no way this man will be able to come to know Jesus. They gave him tract, shared the plan of salvation with him. And he always ridiculed them and made fun of them. One night on Sunday evening, during the service, this man comes into the church, and he sat in the very last pew and listened to the sermon. And then the pastor gave the invitation, and to the shock and surprise of the pastor, that man whom the church gave up on stood up, walked forward, prayed, and gave his life to the Lord. The pastor was puzzled. In his mind, he said, we have spent all our lives we have been trying to witness to this guy. He would resist us, ridiculed us. What made him come to Christ? But the pastor was embarrassed to ask him. He was expressed happiness that this man accepted Christ. So finally, he got the courage to ask him to come forward and share his testimony. You know, as this man stood up, this man pointed to a saintly lady in the church. He said, the reason I came to Christ is this saintly lady. He said, for many, many years, I have been watching this lady pass in front of my house. Every time that church service begins, I see her carrying her Bible and walking to church. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. For 30 years, this saintly lady have been walking to the church every time, on time to the church. Finally, he said, I came to the conclusion that a woman who loves the Lord and somebody, the Savior she worships, deserve my faith. You see, the life of this lady, the testimony of this lady, was the voice of God in the wilderness for this man. In Sudan, there was a terrorist. There was a terrorist organization. And what this organization did, they would send missionaries to Christian areas, and the objective of the missionary is to convert them and kill them. Well, this missionary, Muslim missionary, killed so many because they rejected Islam that he began to see blood on his hands. He didn't know where this blood came. He washed his hand. Look, and there's blood from the victims that he killed. Well, he thought, if I go to Mecca, do the pilgrimage, the blood will go away. He went and did the pilgrimage, came back. The blood is still there. Finally, one day he was listening to the radio, and the broadcaster was talking about the Lord Jesus. And he was talking about how Jesus carried the cross and went to Calvary. And in his message, he talked about the thief who was a murderer. But that thief asked Jesus to forgive him. And Jesus forgave him and told him, tonight you will be with me in paradise. And then he invited this man to come to Jesus. And the radio broadcaster said, as if Jesus saved that thief, he can save you. No matter how sinful you may be, he can give you eternal life. And then he said, pray after me this prayer on the radio. And this man was listening. And he said, pray from your heart. Lord, thank you for coming to earth to die in my place. Lord, I deserve to go to hell, but because of you, you died in my place. Lord, I accept what you did, and by faith, I invite you to come to my heart. Lord, forgive me. I am the sinner, in Jesus' name. As this terrorist was praying this prayer, suddenly Jesus came into his heart, and the blood went away. Now he see his hand. Later, he came to the capital city, Khartoum, and later he joined our Bible college in Khartoum. One day, he was attending the school every day, and one day he disappeared, and for 1.5 years, nobody knew where he was. You know, of course, the principal of our school and the church people were puzzled. Because here is a Muslim who got saved, and he is faithfully following Jesus, and then he disappeared. Well, after 1.5 years, this ex-former terrorist came back, and he appeared. And they were kind of confused. They said, what happened to you? Why did you disappear? And he said, because my organization found out that I became a Christian, I became a follower of Christ, so they put a price on my head. So I had to go and hide. Then they asked him, why did you appear? What made you reappear? He said, because they found a man having the same, my first and last name, and they killed him thinking he was me. And then he looked at, at the people, he said, you know, I feel sorry that they killed that man, but God allowed this man to die in my place so that I can carry the gospel of Christ and reach more Muslims who are like me, reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you may not be able to be a preacher. You may not be able to be an evangelist or a missionary, but you can be a voice unto God. You can be a voice unto God. You know, America needs that voice today. I've never seen young people so confused. I've never seen that in my whole life, anywhere in the world. I haven't seen people who live in such prosperity. Instead of thanking God, they are unhappy and miserable and resorting to drugs, and they don't know what to do with their lives. So many people are committing suicide in America. What they need is that voice of God in the wilderness for them. You know, at the beginning of the mission conference, I told you about the missionary who led me to Christ. And I praise God for people like you who supported that missionary. Brother Ains came to Lebanon, and this morning I shared with the children about Sunday school and how in Sunday school I got saved. You know, when I got saved, I don't imagine that that missionary imagined that Edgar Figali, 7 years old, someday he will grow up and become a missionary and reach the Middle East with the gospel. But he led me to Christ. So I grew up and I went and planted churches all over the Middle East. And praise God, you know, when the missionary came to Lebanon, the Middle East used to be described as the graveyard of missions. That doesn't apply today. But the question is, what if people like you did not give to missions and that Brother Ains could not come to Lebanon? You know, what will happen? You see, all the churches that I showed on Sunday night, every one of these churches did not exist. They were planted. And if Brother Ains were not to come to Lebanon, none of these churches will be in existence today. There will be no radio station in Iraq. There will be no churches in Iraq. There will be no churches in Syria. There will be no churches in Lebanon. There will be no churches in North Sudan, South Sudan, Ghana, Togo, Liberia. None of these people, millions, tens of thousands of people, right now through our ministry, millions of people are hearing the gospel. None of this would have existed if Brother Ains were not to come and lead that little boy to Christ. I am so grateful that Brother Ains was the voice of God to us in Lebanon in that wilderness. You know, I was in a church and I was promoting my book. And somebody came to me, he shook my hand, said, "Oh, Brother Figali, so you are an author, right?" I said, "Yeah, but you too are an author. Do you know that?" He said, "I didn't write a book." I said, "I disagree with you. Do you know that everyone here is writing a book? Every day you write add a word, you add a sentence, you add a paragraph to that book. And this book, you will continue reading the book until the last day when you write the final sentence and you put a period. When that book is completed, that's the time when you finish, you complete the story and you go to be with the Lord. And the question is, what kind of book, when you put that final point, final dot, completing your story, what kind of story that will be? Will that book be spirit-filled book? Will that story be tragic, a comedy, action, adventure? What kind of book are you writing today? And when we finish that book, what will the people say about you? You know, I'm so grateful. My brother was sharing with me tonight that he was in the military. And when he was in the military, he was not saved. But later he got saved. And God turned his life upside down. What a joy to know that God, I told him, my answer was, it's not, the beginning is not important. It's the ending is very important. You know, John the Baptist was one of the greatest prophets that walked on the face of the earth. And when they asked him, "Who you are?" He said, "I am a voice." And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Do you know? You know, John the Baptist was a great man of God, but you are greater than John the Baptist. Do you know that? Because John the Baptist was not born again, but you and I were born again. John the Baptist was not called to go into the world, but Jesus called you and me to go into the world. What a privilege we have tonight to take back America, bring America back to the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray. Would you pray tonight and say, Lord, let me be that voice. Let the world hear that voice. Jesus wants to use you. You say, I am nobody. Well, nobody, none of us is anybody. But I am so glad that that God takes a nobody and he lives in him, make him somebody for Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, dear Lord, for this mission conference this week. Thank you for every brother and sister, every man and woman who attended the conference. Lord, help us to pray for our nation. And may we be the voice of God in the wilderness of America. So many people are calling upon us for help. They need the help. And we know how we can help them because Jesus is the only answer. Bless our pastor, bless his family, and bless every member here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.